ఓం శాంతి. గుడ్ మార్నింగ్. సో వాజ్ ది అమృత్ వేళ గుడ్? అండ్ ఆర్ యూ ఫీలింగ్ గుడ్ నౌ ఆర్ స్లీపీ? అచ్చా లగ్ రా. ఓకే, సో దిస్ సెషన్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టు బి అబౌట్ అవర్ ఓన్ ఇన్నర్ పవర్స్, అండర్స్టాండింగ్ అవర్ ఓన్ ఇన్నర్ పవర్స్. As in the morning, we experience that we have the power to transform ourselves. We have the power to transform our surroundings and the world at large. So, for this session, we have with us Deepa Didi. Let us all wave and welcome Didi. She is a Rajyogi since her childhood and for more than 35 years now. And she is one of our senior faculties who is based in Mumbai, Villeparle, and she addresses a host of audiences including businessmen, industrialists, youth, IT, security services of the world, of India, military, paramilitary, and a lot of other people who need counseling, who need a spiritual touch in their lives. So she is that gentle breeze who will just come, blow away all your worries and give you peace. So this morning, there couldn't be a better option to start this morning. So we welcome Deepa Didi. And before empowering the self, let us first understand our inner powers through her. Welcome Didi, over to you.
Shanti, good morning to all of you. I'm sure you must be enjoying this beautiful environment of silence and happiness. And as we begin our spiritual journey, you've already started with the morning meditation. Let us understand the self, the inner power, which is actually absorbing this silence, this purity, which is enjoying the environment. And when we talk about ourselves, I think each one of us realizes that no one better than us can introduce ourselves. Yet it must be a little strange for you, where you need to now understand yourself again, redefine yourself on the basis of spirituality. And today's world, I think each one of us understands that we are in search of this calmness, this inner silence, this inner stability, this inner strength. And when this experience of this calmness is there, there is a little deep level of contentment which we feel. And so we understand that though we have surely responsibilities in our world, in our roles, and so we need to achieve a lot at the external level in different roles which we have, different areas of our life, work, family, other responsibilities even to society. Yet we understand that this inner experience of silence and joy becomes our foundation. And so who is this beautiful energy which is seeking to re-experience, reconnect with that inner calmness and silence? Because we find that this silence is very deeply attractive to us. No, we enjoy it. We enjoy sound also. But silence and calmness and purity is always attracting us, because that is somewhere deep down our true nature. And so let us understand, explore, and then try to experience what is this beautiful energy, the inner power, the inner identity which the divine is explaining to us. So as you know that this is a spiritual university, and here the divine, the supreme, becomes our teacher and teaches us, and he's also our supreme father, parent. And so when the parent teaches his own child, he looks after the child in such a way in which the knowledge is simple and yet very deeply profound, so that the child understands it. So the supreme gives us this beautiful understanding about our own self. And when we today relate to ourselves, or maybe sometimes introduce ourselves, like each one of you amongst yourself also, you must be connecting with each other. Yes, talking to each other. And you'll have many opportunities today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, to connect with each other. So when we talk to each other, immediately we ask each other's introduction. So we first ask each other's name. I think that's how we connect, no? What else? What other details do we ask each other or share with each other? Yes. Profession, yes. Location, yes. Place you come from, yes. What else? Family, yes. Purpose, okay. Why you've come here, yes. Where you've come from, state, and you know, so many other details of our experiences, our family, our work especially, that becomes an important part of our discussions. And then our roles, and what are the challenges which the work scenario is facing, and so many other things. And so all these details which we are sharing with each other are connected to our external identity. And that's why we always use this word, my name, my role, my family, my responsibilities, my religion, my background, my state, my language, my belief system, yes, my achievements. So every time I'm talking about these things, very subtly there is this word my which is being used. And so all these things are very, very important to us. They form a very important part of us. And so we identify ourselves with them. But yet they belong to me. Like at present I'll say that, well, this is my pointer. Well, I'll leave it before I go. But it belongs to me, and I'm using it during the session. And so it is separate from me, and it's available for me to use, but it belongs to me, and so it is separate. And so in the same way, when I say this is my name, my role, my responsibilities, my background, my state, my language, my religion, all these details, everything belongs to me. It's mine. And so it is separate from me, and I'm using those aspects or those very important experiences and details of my life, and yet I am separate. So I as the identity and all these things belonging to me is separate. And so then we understand that there are two aspects of our identity. One, the acquired one, which is very, very important. But there is this very beautiful aspect of identity, which is the innate one, which is actually driving everything. And so today when we are talking about each other, explaining about, maybe sharing about our details, the identity which we are connecting very naturally with is the acquired. And that's important because that's the way with which we can contribute to each other, to the world. We fulfill our responsibilities. We add value to the world. And yet we find that this aspect of identity, the inner self, the innate self, the inner power, today the awareness is missing. Yes? You feel like this? Yes? So maybe logically we understand that these two aspects of identity are there. But awareness throughout the day is of whom? Which identity? Required. And so we find that with that awareness we are playing our role, we are using our resources, investing our time, energy in all these important things which are actually which we need to fulfill. And so throughout the day the awareness of this acquired has become natural. And because it has become natural, I've started identifying myself only with the acquired identity. And so what has been the result? It has become the master. It has started driving me. It started influencing my every thought, feeling, emotion, word, action, and most important, my responses to everything what's happening around me. And so both these identities are very important, because as a human being, we are complete with both of them. So none can be without the other. So both are complementary. But for us to experience that state of calmness which we are enjoying here, that inner state of lightness, we want to enjoy that for some time or throughout the day. This feeling of being relaxed, lightness, yes? Throughout the day? Yes, we would like to enjoy it throughout the day. Even happiness, this inner happiness, the sense of joy. And so to be able to experience that constantly as a way of life, who should be the master amongst these two identities? Innate. And today who's the master? The quiet. And how do we shift that is what we are going to learn through Rajyoga meditation. So the Supreme gives us this understanding of the innate, but also gives us the method, the tool by which we can shift this. So that slowly and slowly, gently, when this starts shifting, then our experiences, our feelings, our emotions, our perspectives, our understanding about ourselves and everything around us changes. And so we find that this deep understanding of the innate is very, very important. Understanding this inner power, this inner self. And what we learn through Rajyoga is, it's not just understanding, but also learning this very beautiful tool and this very beautiful technique of Rajyoga meditation, by which this becomes the basis of our identity throughout the day. And so today we find that logically we still understand that there is this innate energy. And that's why whenever we hear the news of someone passing away, demise of someone, immediately we send a message. Rest in peace. Who should rest in peace? The soul. Because we understand that we have in our own way, in different ideologies, in different religions, we have our own very beautiful way of surrendering the body back to nature, with respect, with love. And so we find that that has already rested in peace. It's gone back to nature. But who are we seeking to understand, or we seek to send vibrations of peace to that identity? We say rest in peace, lot of love, lot of peace to this identity. Who is that identity? It is this soul. So we understand that logically. What happens in our day-to-day life? The awareness is, which awareness comes naturally? The quiet. And so that has become so strong that it becomes very natural and easy for us to remain in that awareness. And we sometimes even don't know, remember which awareness we are using. Because we are not so used to being able to check our awareness. It's so subtle within us. It's so deeply merged in our subconscious, in our thoughts, in our feelings, that it's very natural. And when we see around us, people are aware of themselves in which identity? Acquired. And so we find that that's normal. Everyone is in that same awareness, and so that's important. And so we find slowly and slowly that has become our way of life. Very normal. Now when we talk about ourselves as a human being, we understand this, that human means humus, it comes from this word humus, which means matter. And so we understand that this identity is focused with nature. And so it's made of five elements of nature. When we see ourselves, we can see this physical self. We understand, today medical science gives us a lot of knowledge about it. A lot of understanding is there. And yet we find that the being is this beautiful energy, which we are calling as inner power, energy. We call it as innate self. We call it as light. We call it as ruha, atma, shakti, prana. Whichever word we would like to relate to, that's fine. But it actually connects with this beautiful energy. And so the sense of belongingness today is with whom? With the acquired. So every time I think about myself, the image which I see in the mirror every day comes in front of me. And so that is I. And so it's on that basis that we are in a journey of empowering ourselves, maybe beautifying ourselves, maybe strengthening ourselves, maybe coming to that journey of excellence. And so because that image is always in front of us, everything around that, our time, our energies, our feelings, our emotions are invested to keep empowering, strengthening, beautifying, healing that, which is also very important because it's a very important part of our identity. But when we find we are disconnected from the innate self, what happens is that all our time and energy is invested to empower this. And so we find that somewhere throughout the day, there is little or maybe no time which we have spent to empower the soul. And so what happens to that power slowly and slowly? It starts decreasing. So it's like throughout the day, if we see how much investment of our time and energy and our thought is, we find there is a big imbalance. And that's why today we feel that somewhere within there is a feeling of lacking. Or sometimes we find that because the soul power is lacking, then everything from the outside has started affecting us. And so when we talk about this human being, we understand that this aspect, the human aspect, is a very important aspect of our life. It's a very, very valuable godly gift to us, this instrument, this body, very valuable gift. And with that, our roles, our responsibilities, our family, everything is very, very important. But to be able to sustain it with love, with happiness, with joy, with strength, I need to empower my inner self. I need to experience that inner power so that I can constantly be healing, nurturing my physical self, my physical body, my relationships, my responsibilities and everything connected to this physical identity. So when the self, the inner self becomes the master, then there is a very healing experience even to our external self. And so we find that today it's become very important for us to understand that as the soul, my relationship with this external identity. So if I say that yes, I am this being of light, what is my connection with my physical identity? It belongs to me. I am responsible to take care of it. So if we compare it with this beautiful example of a car and the driver. So this physical body becomes a very, very valuable car. No replacements, no? And who becomes the driver? I, the soul. So body, we always use the word my body. Yes? My feet are aching. My head is spinning. I always use the word my for each organ, for the body. And yet the I is this beautiful identity. And so the I becomes the driver. And so who has to be always in control in a vehicle? The driver. And if there is any mishap, any accident, who becomes responsible? The driver. Even if the driver tries to reason out to us, I mean, if maybe on road, sometimes it happens, there's a little bump here or there. In Mumbai, it happens very regularly. And so, we find even if there is this driver who keeps reasoning and says, well, I didn't do anything, it's my car which banged the car. Will we accept anything like this from him? No, we say no. You were responsible. Who was sitting in control in the car? You. And so it's you who are responsible. So that driver becomes accountable for everything he does through the car. So even though maybe seemingly it's the cars which are banging each other, but we understand, no, it's a driver. And so we find that everything which I am in responding through this physical identity, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my decisions, my responses, my perceptions, my belief system, all these things, who is the master? Who is the one who is designing? I, the driver, the being of light. So I am the one who decides. I am the one who is accountable. And so many times, you know, it's easy for us, and it's become maybe sometimes a habit that we sometimes complain. You know, these little sweet complaints are there. Kya kare? Bolna nahi tha, mukh se nikal gaya. I didn't want to say anything, but it was just uttered. I don't know what happened. Dekhna nahi tha, lekin aankhe chali gayi. Dhyan chala gaya. So we find that somewhere we have become used to feeling that it's the body which is driving me, or the physical identity, my roles, my responsibilities, everything outside, the environment, kya kare? Wo environment mein jaate hain, to tension aa hi jata hai. Office pahunchne se hi tension aa jati. So we have started accepting this. That's everything from the outside which is actually driving me. But yet the Supreme guides us that I, the soul, has the power. And it's I who has the choice. Let's try to discover and understand on the basis of God's insights, what is this inner self, this I? Very beautifully we use the word Atma in spiritual language. We say soul, we say spirit, we say Ruha. Different languages, different words. And this is identifying with I. And so through my mind's eye, you know, when I visualize this I, what is this symbol? The soul, we always visualize it as a beautiful star, a beautiful point of divine light, a beautiful being of light. And it's like, you know, this beautiful stars which we see in the night on the sky. In a similar way, there is this beautiful star which is shining in the midst of our forehead. So exactly where is my seat, driving seat for the driver? Yes, where am I seated? In the midst of the brain, near the hypothalamus and pituitary glands, there is a space where I, the being of light, is seated. Like, just like the driver has a fixed driving seat, on the basis of what is that driving seat selected? I think abroad there are many cars where maybe left, India obviously right. But why is that seat specifically selected for the driver? Why do we call it the driving seat? Because it has all the controls. So sitting there, the driver is in complete control of his car. And so whatever movement he needs, whatever control he needs, he can do it seated there. It's not that he needs to get out and then take the car behind, or maybe get out and then check what's happened. He knows. It's sitting there. And yet he can reconfirm, but he knows what's happening. And he is in charge. He wants to maybe take back seat. He can do that. He can move forward. He can stop the car, seated there. In the same way, the soul is seated in this seat of calmness where I am in the midst of the brain. And this soul, why is it seated there? There are many reflex actions in our day-to-day life which we use. Many times we make a mistake, we say, Pata nahi kya ho gaya? Do we do that sometimes? Yes? What happened? And our hand very easily moves towards the forehead. Chinta karte hain, when we are worried, then also what happens? We hold our forehead. Bahut soch chal raha hai. Bahut chinta ho rahi hai. And normally when you show a person worried, what do we show as a picture? This person sitting with his hand on his forehead. And so we find there are many reflex actions. which give us this guidance that there is some energy seated there which is actually thinking, feeling, deciding, responding. Who's in charge? And maybe if you see it as energy, energy is always light. The body is of matter, five elements of nature. So anything light is always above. And so the soul resides in the highest position in the body. And that's the forehead, in the midst of the brain. And so through my mind's eye, I visualize this light. So it's energy. And this body is made of matter. So this body, which is made of matter, doesn't have the power to actually physically see energy. Like suppose I'm speaking to you, so there is some sound energy which is reaching you. Yes, sound waves, and that's why you're catching those waves and automatically listening, and then you're responding, you're thinking and then responding. Some of you, if I ask you a question, you can respond. And so can we see this energy? We know. But can we actually see it with these physical eyes? No. But how do we relate to this energy? Normally, maybe in physics or maybe chemistry, in any science, when we want to relate, we just show these little waves, no? As energy. And so in the same way, we cannot see the soul with these physical eyes. But we relate to it as a point of light. As a being of light. As a spark of divine energy, which is seated in the forehead. But physically, we find because these eyes are also matter, we cannot physically see it because it's not matter. These eyes can see only things which are of matter. And so energy has to be visualized, has to be felt, has to be experienced. And I'm sure today we understand that science has done a lot of experiments in this, and they've realized that yes, there is this energy within the metaphysical self. And so in meditation, when we connect with the Supreme, the first step becomes experiencing this inner power, feeling or realizing myself as this beautiful light. And in meditation, we use this tool of visualization. And so we can see ourselves how? Through our mind's eye. Now when we are talking about the soul, we find that this beautiful light, this beautiful energy is the master. And so it becomes the master through which we can drive all our senses, guide all our senses. So whether we are seeing, whether we are hearing, it's the soul who decides. Now it's like suppose we are sitting here, but suddenly you remember something very important back home. Maybe you had to make a call in the morning, which you missed, or maybe something is going to happen at work level or family, which is important today. And for a moment, your mind travels there. And so as soon as you're thinking about that back home at family or work, you are seeing that, yes? And what happens to the picture here? You're sitting here, but are you seeing what's happening in front of you? No, but your eyes are open. Yes? So eyes open, but you're not seeing anything in front of you. Because your mind and intellect is traveled somewhere else, and you're seeing that. You're visualizing that. So when the soul decides to see, what happens? It goes beyond even the present. It has the power. And so it's the physical body which becomes just a medium, just an instrument. But the choice of sight, the choice of listening, every choice is made by the soul. It's a master. So I'm sitting here, my eyes open, but I'm seeing something else. I'm here, there's a lot of sound around me, but I'm remembering something else. Maybe some other song somewhere, maybe in an environment of complete noise. But there's a very beautiful experience which I'm remembering. Some conversations with someone who is very dear to us, or maybe a song, or maybe something which is very important for us and which has touched us deeply. And so I'm listening to that, even though there's a lot of sound around me. Yes, you've had this experience sometime. And so you're with yourself even though there is a lot of environment of chaos around you. And so these senses, the soul is the master. I am the master. Now how does the soul experience the sense of control? So we understand that the driver is in control of the car. But how? What are the tools? What are the faculties through which the soul is in charge of our life? Not only of the body, but our life. What we think, what we say, what we do, how we respond, how we understand, everything, how we analyze, everything. I, the soul, is the master. And so what are those faculties which the soul uses to experience a sense of stability and control? So the Supreme guides us that when I say I am a soul, it means I have these three important faculties. So these are the three virtues of the soul, the faculties of the soul, or we can call them the subtle sense organs. We have these physical sense organs, seeing, the eyes, hearing, speaking. So there are so many physical sense organs which we are using to, you know, play our role, to act, to respond, to add value. And these three are the subtle sense organs which are part of the soul. They are these three faculties, or maybe these three qualities of the soul. So the first faculty is a faculty which is creating feelings, emotions, thoughts, ideas, and at present we are using that faculty. No, we are thinking as we are listening. We are thinking, we are trying to visualize, we are trying to feel, we are trying to check on the basis of what we have understood till now, what is this new inputs, this new understanding, we are trying to relate. And so this process of creating thoughts and feelings is a function of the mind. So this is the most creative faculty of the soul. So throughout the day, it is at work. It's creating feelings, emotions throughout the day. And some of these thoughts are what we are aware, but many of these thoughts are what we are not aware of also. We have lost track. So it's a very beautiful faculty, because everything what we see in the world today, with these physical eyes, is a creation of the human mind. Yes? You're managing wonderful organizations, institutes, but we are managing the creation of the human mind. Yes? Yes? Whatever we are managing is a creation of human mind, even the family. Yes? We decided to have a family. Yes? So whatever we are managing in the world is actually the creation of the human mind. But the challenge is that we are managing or trying to manage the creation without being able to manage the creator. Yes? Yes? And so somewhere this little struggle is there within us to manage this creator, the mind itself. And so after some time we have decided that, well, this is something which is never going to be in our control. And so it's okay. Man to aisa hi hai. Man to, you know, we have compared it to maybe a monkey, or maybe, you know, so many different, or a horse, you know, so many examples we have given to justify that this is something which is not going to be in my control, so it's okay. I have to accept it in that way. Wo to manega hi nahi, manta hi nahi hai, to chalta hai, usko chalana hai mujhe. And so we try to submit, control everything, manage everything, but not the mind. Because somewhere we have accepted ki this is something which is beyond me. Mujhe kahin na kahin se sambhalna hai, but koshish karni. But I try to manage my work, I try to manage my family, I try to manage my body, I try to manage so many other things. But the reality is, can I really manage my family, that is my life partner, my children, or maybe try to manage them, that is try to control them, try to, you know, see that they do this these things and not these things, and be in this direction and not this direction, you know, this sense of trying to control or trying to manage them, family, work, surroundings, health. But what's the realization? That even though we are trying to manage them, they're not completely in our control. Yes? It's a family, choices theirs, the life partner, the children, and every other member in the family. They're going to choose their journey, they're going to choose their feelings, thoughts, their responses. So I can maybe support them, but I really cannot control them or manage them. Yes? Realize that? Yes. Work also, we can surely manage and, you know, maybe visualize what can happen and, you know, so maybe prepare for that. We can have all other KRAs, we can do everything. But yet we know that there will be something or the other which will be unpredictable, and at that moment we'll have to take care of it. Yes, at work also. Yes, we understand. And I think in a few days so many things are happening. The world also, we are understanding that many changes which we have never imagined are also going to happen. And so we understand that that also actually cannot be in our full control. Even health, we find that yes, we can remain healthy surely, and it's very, very important to have a healthy lifestyle. Yet we have to be open. Something or the other can come up. Yes, some little infection can come up, some other else can come up. Yes, some little surprises can come up, and we have to take care of it. Yes, so we have to be open for health challenges also. And so we find that all these things actually directly are not in control. What is actually only in our control? Our mind. That's the only thing. Because there I have complete control over what I'm thinking and feeling and how I'm responding. But how do I take that control back? How do I shift myself into that awareness that yes, I am the one who's in control. I can choose. I can feel. I can think differently. I can create my own thoughts and feelings. So that shift is what we are going to slowly learn and empower ourselves with meditation, with this connection with the divine. And so we find that this mind, the mind is the most interesting, very important faculty. The other faculty is the intellect, which actually is like a processing unit. So that's like a manufacturing unit, it's like a processing unit. So all our thoughts and feelings are processed by the intellect. It tries to reason out, it tries to analyze, it tries to visualize the future, it tries to check, okay, if this thought I implement, what's going to be the future? If this I don't implement, what's going to be the impact in the present and future? So there's a lot of, you know, analyzing and synthesizing which is done, reasoning which is done by the intellect. And most important, it takes a decision. And once the intellect takes a decision, it has the power to visualize. It visualizes the past, it visualizes the present, and also the future. And so on the basis of its visualization and decision making, it takes a decision. And what happens then? We perform, we translate it into action. No? We do things accordingly. And so that becomes very, very powerful, because then the karma is performed. And once we do the action, what happens? Slowly and slowly we find that some of our actions are repetitive. You know, becomes a behavioral pattern within us. And that becomes a part of our sanskars. So let us try to understand this little deeply. These three faculties, the Supreme guides us into how each faculty works and how we can reshift, you know, we can somewhere reorganize each faculty, re-engineer the working of each faculty so that we can have that sense of calmness and joy and lightness throughout the day. And so we find that, let's see the first faculty. Our thoughts are influencing our brain waves. And so we already know that when we are meditating, we have an alpha state of mind. Yes, you must have read in books also many times. You know? Some books are titled on this also, the alpha state and all that. So whenever we are meditating, we are calming the mind, and so the brain waves are also coming to an alpha state, which is a very calm state of mind. Generally, when we are in normal activity, we are in beta waves. And when we are in a deeper state of meditation, we come to delta waves. Even in our sleep, we can experience alpha and delta waves. Delta waves are very, very important because those are that time when we are in that deep sleep. And as many of you would be knowing, because this is part of science, and you know, there are brain scientists who are working on this. It's the EEG machine by which they give us these figures and all that. And so they help us to understand that these delta waves are very, very important for us to be, for the brain to create, because it actually rejuvenates our body, the nervous system, the stimuli, you know, the whole system is rejuvenated. Now, the mind, when it's creating thoughts, we find there are four varieties of thoughts. Unfortunately, this manufacturing unit has a gap. What is the gap which this manufacturing unit has? The mind, if you see it as a creative faculty, what is the gap?
It can waver.
Yes, it can waver. What else?
Lack of
clarity. Yes. Lack of control. Yes.
Oh.
Easy manipulative. The most important challenge is that there's no quality control in this. Now just imagine a manufacturing unit which you could be managing yourself without a quality control unit in that, or maybe system in that. It's unthinkable, no? And that's actually what has happened to the mind. And that's why through this awareness, through this spiritual self-study, the Supreme has guided us how we can actually install this quality control within our mind. And so we become aware of the quality of our thoughts and feelings which I am creating throughout the day. And so if you see it at an open level, then maybe today we are aware of those good thoughts and bad thoughts. So we talk about it as positive thinking and maybe negative thinking. So these two varieties we understand. But there are two other type of thoughts: waste and ordinary. Now we just need to understand this, okay? So maybe we relate to it in a sort of an example. So maybe you are supposed to come for this program, and so you have decided, you have registered, and just before you have come, I mean maybe on the way, some of you would have come for a voluntary level, some of you have actually been pushed by your friend or some colleague, oh, you need to go, you need to come, and maybe you have been invited again and again, and this time you said, okay, let's go. And so, I mean, the invitation has come, and so you're coming on the journey. You have a little bit idea about, okay, what the Brahma Kumaris talk about. Maybe you've listened to Shivani Ben. So you are okay. But what could be a positive thought which you could create for the program before you've actually reached here? What could be a positive thought? I hope there were. Okay, we'll empower ourselves with this program. Self-awareness will be there. It should not be so difficult, no? Yes? We'll know the inner self. Yeah, we'll be able to empower. What could be a negative thought? Maybe this could be a little easier. I have a lot of work and I have still come. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be disconnected by the world and all that abstract things, and it will not be so useful when I go back. Yes. 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 Travel to here, and I really don't think it's going to be very valuable after all this effort and to go back and so much work and so many responsibilities. Well, I hope you didn't have all these thoughts. What could be the waste thoughts? Yes? Okay, what to wear? What else? When, will we have to wear white? I hope not.
I hope the food is good.
Yes, I hope the food is good. I hope, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy it.
What will happen in
what will happen? Will I really be able to meditate? I can't concentrate. I don't think I'll be able to meditate. It's quite confusing, this spirituality. No? Will it be easy? Will I be able to concentrate? Will it be enjoyable? It's okay, it's important, but listening to it throughout the day, will it really be enjoyable? Will I be able to do it? Yes. So all those thoughts are waste. It's not negative, but these thoughts are not helping us to reach any result or not adding value to us. Just worry. Thinking, but more worrying. The actual situation will come and then you'll experience whatever it is. But before that, I'm worrying either about the past or about the future. So worrying. And the ordinary thoughts are the routine ones. Okay, when you're coming, so okay, we have, informed the, people over there that we'll be reaching maybe by train. So I'm sure someone will receive us. And now, okay, yeah, this number is there. So if there's no one, I have to call this person. And then, yes, they told us if we are coming by train, there's a drive 45 minutes. Okay, we'll do that. Or if we are coming by flight, then from Udaipur, it's so many hours. So then maybe it's a vehicle which we have booked. And then we'll reach at this time. Okay, we should have a location of this. So all these other routine thoughts which we need for our daily activities. Now, most of our thoughts are of which variety? If now we start becoming aware, because we have not done that for a long time. Waste, ordinary, yes. And in ordinary, waste has very subtly merged. Any activity which needs two thoughts, we are creating. I need to keep this pointer. Well, I think, no, I should keep it here, because that will be more easy for me, from the left hand. No, then I think it's better to keep it there because here it will be visible and it may just fall down. I'll keep it there. No, I think it should be on the right hand side, so that's better. No, I think I can keep it on my lap. No, I think I should keep it this side. So, how many thoughts I needed to keep this pointer? One. And I created so many. Yes? So, in our daily activities, what is happening? We are creating too many thoughts. So those too many thoughts, extra thoughts are waste thoughts. So a lot of waste thoughts and negative also. After some time, these thoughts are leading us to negative thinking, especially that self-talk many times is not always kind and compassionate for ourselves. It has a lot of negative thinking for ourselves. Maybe sometimes we are taking care for others and for situations, but for ourselves, sometimes we find we are thinking very negative. And so how do we change those negative, waste and ordinary thoughts into positive thoughts? So recycling of these thoughts is what we will learn through this spiritual study and meditation, which we call as Gyan and Yoga here. And so we find that as I think, so I feel, and so that really becomes a quality of my life. And so once we start guiding our mind, making it our most wonderful friend, what happens? We start enjoying this beautiful relationship. So our mind starts listening to us, starts relating to us. Today we find it doesn't want to listen, no? And so we find that at work, giving instructions and getting things done, so easy, it's routine. Maybe if we are working with our seniors, getting instructions from them and doing things accordingly, normal. But when we do it within our mind, difficult. I give instructions to my mind, like you are sitting here from maybe 7, so you have been, or 6:45. So you have guided your mind to be here. Has it remained here? Most of the time. So without your choice also, it moves here and there. So instructions given are not always followed. We are very upset when that happens in our work, no? Or even in the family. And so we are not able to do it within. And many times there is this guidance which comes from within. Every time we react, there is this inner guidance, this inner voice which tells us something. What does it tell us? Every time we are getting upset with something, we are getting angry with something, we are reacting. What does this inner voice tell us? It's fine. Be quiet. It's okay. Everything will be okay. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Does that tell us, the inner voice? Yes. Do we listen to it? Most of the times, we override it and we say, no, 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 it's important. Otherwise, at this time, if I don't say it, it will not work. And so, you know, we are not listening. And every time I'm using my original virtues of the soul, that's when I'm able to create those powerful positive thoughts. Unconditional positive thoughts. Today, positive thoughts are there, but it's more conditional. It's like in such an environment, you have positive thoughts. When you're with people who love you, who you love, you have positive thoughts for them. When you're in an environment of comfort, mental, emotional, physical, you have positive thoughts. But when are these needed? All the self-help books which keep telling us, think positive, when? In difficult moments, and things are not working, at that time to think positive. When this person is unreasonable, not cooperating, that time to think positive for that person. Yes? Yes? So that power the mind needs, to think positive and purposeful and powerful unconditionally. And so we find, we understand that these thoughts which are influenced by the past and mundane thoughts, now all these thoughts are moving towards the intellect. And so the intellect is this very interesting faculty which actually reasons out. And so it visualizes, it understands, it reasons out, it analyzes, it discerns and decides. And all this is done so quickly within. So maybe when I'm speaking of it, it takes time, but it happens so quickly inside. And so this is like a filter. And so how does this filter actually work? It filters my thoughts. Now, if the filter is clogged or has a hole, you know, when we have this morning tea or coffee which we are making, and if the filter is clogged, and maybe it has a very small little hole which we have missed, and so we don't enjoy a cup of coffee or tea. Now, when the intellect gets clogged by the past, by some experiences of the past, you know, feelings and emotions which are there, the hole becomes that personality trait which starts working on our intellect. It starts overriding all reasoning which the intellect gives. Whenever we are angry, what happens? That inner voice keeps telling us, don't say anything, it's okay, be calm, be patient, be reasonable. But that feeling of anger takes over. And it takes over the intellect, and all that reasoning is left aside. And we speak things, we react in some way in which later on we feel, this was not me. I should have not said that. I should have not done that. Yes? Each one of us can remember that experience very vividly. Through our intellect, we can visualize ourselves getting angry, getting upset. And so we find at that time, it's like that hole. That emotion, that negative personality traits holds our intellect in such a way that it captures our intellect in such a way that our power to discern, understand and decide moves away. Doesn't work. Later on, all that reasoning comes back. But it's more regret at that time. Yes. So in Hindi, very beautifully they say, sochna, samajna and then karna. Sanskars is doing. So sochna hai, samajna hai aur karna hai. But today it's more like sochna, karna. Sochna, karna. I think, I do. I think, I do. A thought comes, I do. So it's so reactive, it's so impulsive that reasoning is not given a chance. So we really don't have that space which we give ourselves. We don't give ourselves any space to reason out. And so here, meditation teaches us to give us that space. And it's very less. This time taken is very less, but very powerful. Because it really helps us to give direction to our decisions. And so we have throughout our routine, you must be hearing this music which moves on. Every hour, there is that little minute of silence, that minute, a pause, which helps us to check, which helps us to redirect, guide our thoughts, our intellect, our decision making. And whatever decisions I have taken, they are already translated into action. I'm doing those things and I've done those things again and again and again. And so they are very deeply a part of my personality. So they become my sanskars, my memories, my behavioral patterns, my habits. And those sanskars are so powerful. And most of the times we say this also, ki mera bhav to nahi tha, mera swabhav hai. Man mein nahi lagana, please. It's not anything in my mind. I don't have such feelings for you, or I don't intend this way, but it's just my habit. It's just my personality, because of which my voice raises or I just say this harshly. It's just a personality. So don't worry about it. Yes? Kehte hain? Bhav nahi tha, swabhav hai. Kya kare? Yes? And so we have accepted ki swabhav to aisa hi hai. I've come with this. Nothing can be done about it. But the Supreme guides us into sanskars. And as you must have heard many times from many of our sisters, Shivani Ben also, that we had these five different types of sanskars. Some sanskars which we have brought with us from our past journeys of life, and we recognize this in our children also. Yes? And we recognize it around us also. There are so many child prodigies also nowadays. We can see, and so we understand that these sanskars have come from the past journey. Some of them are very good, some of them are connected to our skills and qualities, and some of them are those habits which we find ourselves trapped in. We say, kya kare? Ho jata hai. It's just a part of me. And so some of them have come from there. Some of sanskars have been given surely by our parents. The loving sustenance which they have given, the family, our parents have given us. And so most of the time, you know, children are recognized. So they are this person's son or this person's daughter. And so parents give us those sanskars. They nurture those sanskars in us. Our friends, man is known by the company he keeps, jaisa sang, vaisa rang. The people with whom you connect with at a daily level. Society, yes. The thought processes of society which you relate with, which you connect with, the content which you are absorbing throughout the day from society, through social media, through your own interactions. And some of that could be value added for your profession, for your work also. But along with that, some of the sanskars of ego, of anger, of arrogance, of greed, of fear, all that also has come along. And the last one, which is our innate sanskars, our original sanskars, are the most beautiful ones. And the most beautiful realization which the Divine gives us is that this is our true nature. Each one of us here, each one in this world actually has all of these sanskars. This is our originality. It's like those factory settings in our mobile. In the same way, this is originally, which is then within us, each one of us. And so we have always been talking about these virtues and we have been seeking for them. I've been seeking purity, I've been seeking peace, I've been seeking power, I've been seeking happiness, seeking love, seeking knowledge, wisdom, seeking bliss, contentment. But the Divine gives us this beautiful realization and changes our language. So I don't need to seek peace, but He says that you are a peaceful soul. So I started reminding myself, I am a peaceful soul. So when I'm seeking peace, I keep telling myself I should be patient, I should not get angry, I should not react. And then the Supreme lovingly tells us that I am a peaceful soul. So which thought is more energizing? I should be patient, I should not react, I should be reasonable, I should be calm, and I am a peaceful soul. Which one is more energizing? I am. Because that gives me that sense of deep self-esteem, self-respect. connects to my own deep sense of self-esteem. And I feel good within myself because that's my original virtue. And so reminding myself again and again, which looks very simple, but it's very empowering. And so here when we say Om Shanti, it's actually reminding ourselves that I am a peaceful soul and you are also a peaceful soul. And we are the children of the Supreme who is the ocean of peace. So I'm a peaceful soul, I'm a pure soul, connecting to my original purity. So internally, originally I'm pure. What I think, what I say, what I do, there is deep sense of integrity and transparency. And that's why we all seek that level of transparency from others, yes, and also expect it from ourselves. And whenever it's not there, we're not happy with ourselves, yes. So no one else knows, but we know that this was not right. Yes, it happens. Yes, whenever there's a disalignment from what we have been thinking, saying and doing, yes, we're not happy with ourselves because we recognize it. Why? Because we are originally a pure soul. I'm a pure soul. So that is why there's that non-acceptance for this disalignment. Yet surely from others, yes, there we feel we are responsible to correct them, but there is also that disalignment within. And that's why there is that sense of, you know, discontentment with the self. My original virtue of love, I'm a loveful soul. So unconditional good wishes for all. Actually natural for me. To remain angry, to have, hatred for someone is difficult. It's difficult, yes. But to remain loveful, it's easy. And you find that as soon as you're loveful, what happens? There's a very beautiful energy of good wishes which are exchanged in individuals, whether it's at work area, family area, society. So that's my original nature. And there, that language of love, as we know, speaks more powerfully even then, if maybe externally we don't have the same language. I am a wise soul. So that intuitive wisdom which is there within me. So the Supreme reminds us again and again to remind ourselves that I am a wise soul. And as the spiritual wisdom comes within us, as we fill our intellect with the spiritual wisdom, our intellect becomes more and more intuitive. And that's what I think today you are moving forward towards, having a more intuitive intellect, because that helps us in decision making in today's unpredictable, challenging times and futures. Yes, as a leader you need to be more intuitive. And so intuitive is when the soul is connected with the higher intellect, the higher wisdom. So his wisdom guides me, just like at a parent level you keep guiding your children. Yes. Whatever could be now their age, they could be grown up, they could be having their own children. But yet, as a parent, you always have that love and concern. And so any time they seek out, or sometimes even if they don't seek out, we want to guide them, take care of them. Yes? And so if a journey's parent has that sense of belongingness, involvement and maybe love for the child, how much will the Supreme have? Yes? The Divine has, because He is my eternal parent. So He's always there seeking to take care of me. And so when my intellect connects with the Divine, His wisdom guides me. And I am a wise soul. The deep sense of bliss. I am a blissful soul. Main Anand Swaroop Atma hun. So originally these are my virtues. And so what happens in meditation is, I remind myself of these virtues again and again. Now automatically, when the soul is connected to its original inner power, it's more healthy because it's healing within. Swasthiti, swastha, swasthiti. Healthy, heal thyself. So when I'm aware of myself as not only a soul but my true qualities and virtues, the healing becomes very natural. There's a constant healing taking place because the soul is driving the body. So it's the energy of the soul which is actually nourishing the body. And so peace nourishes my ENT respiratory system. And that's why many times they say, Shanti ka shwash lo. Take a breath. Take a calm breath. Yes, be calm. Take a breath. You say that? So this energy actually nourishes our ENT system, love, the pure good wishes for all, unconditional acceptance for all, that nourishes my cardiac vascular systems. So somewhere I think one of our faculties was sharing about this picture or maybe this slogan which was written outside, hospital outside this clinic. It was written ki agar aap apna dil apne mitron ke saath parivar ke saath khol dete to aaj auzaron se nahi kholna padta. So somewhere that feeling of belongingness with every individual at work and even in the family, where I'm able to connect with them at a spiritual level and so have good wishes for them. That love nourishes our cardiac vascular system, purity, that deep sense of integrity nourishes my circulatory system, my skin, my blood flow, happiness, my digestive system. That is why our older dadi and nannies used to tell us ki khushi se khao to pach jayega. Khushi se nahi kha rahe ho na nahi pachega. Muh bana ke nahi khao. You know, they used to keep lovingly telling us. Because that happiness, energy, plays a very, very important role in our digestive systems. And today we find that inner happiness is slowly and slowly decreasing. Yes? So we are more dependent on happiness from the outside. And that's why there are so many digestive disorders today. So many. Power, inner power, which nourishes my skeletal system. Wisdom, which nourishes my neural system. This inner experience of bliss, contentment, which nourishes my endocrine system, the right hormone secretion. And so we find that as we meditate, the body also gets healed. And the first step of meditation is experiencing this inner power. So let us now move into some moments of experience. We have had a lot of inputs. And as during the day, we will have a lot of other inputs which will remind and revisit this understanding. You can explore, you can check, you can understand. And then maybe if you have some questions also, we can take it up individually with you. You have your guides with you. And tomorrow we will have the second session. So today we understood the first step of actually meditation, that is knowing myself, understanding myself as a spiritual identity, but most important is experiencing that inner power, the inner power of my original virtues and inner energies. So let us now move into this time of experience. Now, as we meditate, the first step of meditation is creating some time for myself. And at a physical level, I create a little stability, So when we meditate, we just make ourselves comfortable and we allow the body to be a little stable. So maybe you can sit a little erect but comfortable. Because in meditation, we are going to use the faculty of the mind and intellect. So the body has to remain calm and comfortable. But if we have discomfort, it will surely, our mind gets distracted. That is why we allow it to be comfortable. Some of us can just use some breathing. We can just breathe, inhale for some time and just allow the body to be calm. And as we meditate, we will guide you with a few thoughts. It's just like when a child has started walking, we hold the child's hand, no? We support it, or maybe after some time we give it a walker. Now we understand that the child is not going to use that walker after some time. But it's just the initial period till the practice is there. In the same way for meditation. So all these commentaries which we are guiding you individually or maybe you listen to, this is just for the initial period till you start practicing your own spiritual conversations with yourself and with the divine. And once that starts, you will enjoy meditation more. Because that will be your thoughts, your feelings, your own conversations. But till then, we can take the support of some guided meditation. So I'll give you a few thoughts. Your mind will travel in that direction. So we are going to use these two tools. So actually meditation is like charging of the soul. So just like when we charge our mobile, we allow the charger to move into that electrical source. And so those two pins enter. And here we are using our mind and intellect. The mind is going to create thoughts and the intellect will visualize the same. So I'm speaking to you. So I'm using my conversations. I'm speaking through my mouth. And then I'm seeing you. So it's these two sense organs which are focused. The mouth and the eyes. In the same way, when I'm connecting with myself today, the first step of meditation, I'm using my mind to speak. So my thoughts are my language. And I will visualize through my intellect. So intellect becomes the eye, which we call as mind's eye. So man mukh ho jayega, buddhi chakshu ban jayega. It will see. Okay? So using these two wonderful faculties. As I move into this moment of silence, I allow my mind to disconnect from the outside. I'm gently aware that I'm sitting here in this hall. And yet through my mind's eye, I choose to see myself alone, sitting here in silence, enjoying the solitude around me. And as I see myself, I become aware of this physical identity, this image which I have been seeing every day in the mirror. And slowly I have identified myself with this image. This deep sense of belongingness to this physical body, where I've considered it to be my complete self. And yet now, I realize that this body is a valuable instrument, like a costume, like a vehicle which I, the soul, is using. Through my mind's eye, I visualize this beautiful light seated in the midst of the forehead. And as I see this light, I feel its nature of silence, peace. I am a being of light, a being of peace. And as I enjoy these moments of calmness, I realize that peace is my true nature. I enjoy this feeling of calmness, of silence, of being completely relaxed, free from all worry and stress. As I enjoy this silence and calmness, I reconnect with my family back home. And now when I see them, I visualize the beautiful light shining between their foreheads. And I see them also as beautiful souls, my life partner, my children, my family, as peaceful souls, loving souls. And I feel this deep connection with them. I send this vibration of love, of peace to each one of them. Through my mind's eye, visualizing each loving member of my family in the canopy of God's blessings. Sending this vibration of good wishes to them, that they always remain happy, safe, healthy. And now I shift my awareness to my work environment, the bigger family, where I'm part of a team working with them. And yet now I see the beautiful light shining in their foreheads. My colleagues, my seniors, my staff. At work, in society, when I deal with people, connecting with them, I see the beautiful light shining between their foreheads. I see them as loving souls, peaceful souls. And I send this vibration of good wishes to my family at work, to my friends, sending them a lot of peace, happiness, wishing them good health, visualizing each one of them in the canopy of God's blessings. And now I gently shift my awareness to the world, and I see this beautiful family. I see the entire globe in front of me. Mother Earth and so many beautiful souls. Their physical identities will be separate, different countries, different colors, different languages, different religions, and yet each one of them is a child of the divine, a beautiful soul. I send this vibration of love, of peace to each one of them. I send this vibration of healing energy to Earth, to Mother Earth. This vibration of peace, good wishes, hope and strength to each one in this world. And as I'm sending this energy, there's a lot of healing which is happening within. I feel so light. I feel peaceful. I feel blessed. Remaining in this experience of calmness, of abundance, full of God's blessings, I gently return back to the present. If my eyes are closed, I open them. And yet I enjoy this feeling of silence and calmness within. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Thank you, Deepa Didi. So, hum kaun hai? Knowledge. Can you read out? Knowledge, bliss, peace, love, purity, happiness, power. If you want to remember this, you can just remember a phrase, Pankaj Pandey ka low high blood pressure. Yahan koi Pankaj Pandey hai to nahi? Hai to aapka hamesha theek rahe blood pressure. Lekin ye dusre Pankaj Pandey hai. Pankaj Pandey ka double P, purity and peace, ka K, knowledge, low, love, high, H, happiness, blood pressure, BP, bliss and power. Those who do not understand Hindi, you can remember it as a formula. KP square LH BP. KP square LH BP. So this is who we are. कोई आपसे पूछे आप कौन है तो यू कैन टेल योर नेम ऑफ कोर्स बट अपने आप से क्या कहिए आई एम सो आज अपने नाम के आगे एक अपनी क्वालिटी लगा दीजिए राइट फॉर एग्जांपल से विधात्री सो आई एम प्योर विधात्री ऐसे अपने नाम के आगे अपनी आज एक कोई भी आइडेंटिफाई करके क्वालिटी उसको जोड़ लीजिए तो आज कोई भी आपसे कोई पूछे आपका नाम क्या है तो आप कौन सा नाम बताएंगे अपना वर्च्यू वाला नाम बताएंगे ओके थैंक यू दीदी